Brandon, it's not life or death.
What's not life or death?
Well, nice of you to make an appearance.
Hey there.
The SATs.
Oh, I'm so sick of hearing about those things. Expect the worst, hope for the best.
Well, that's an awful cheery outlook.
I would rather be surprised than disappointed.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode, Season 1, Episode 18, It's Only a Test. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting, after I go through a little dry news. Hey, everybody. This is David T. Cole, the guy behind the board.
Ladies.
Sure. I was going to say ladies. That's gross. ladies are icky and girls. Yep. All right. So just a reminder that again with this, the URL for the feed is changing. If you're on iTunes, don't worry about it. That automatically updates to the new one. Yay. If you're on something else, what you should do is unsubscribe and resubscribe. And usually for these apps, you can just search for Again With This and it'll find it. And if you have an app that insists on having the actual URL, like HTTP, blah, 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 that is available. Go to previously.tv/feedme, which will send you to a page with all that URL information. So get on that. We're probably going to keep the forwarding URL for the month of August. So starting in September, you're going to need to be on the new stuff. All right. So Tara, Sarah, season one, episode 18.
Fired.
I'm fired. Take it away.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Tara. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine.
This one
rests in excellent condition. That's what I
ask. I mean, I was wondering. I didn't want to ask, but yes, that's great to know because boobs are the focus of our A story this week, but we will get to that. Let's go through the B story first, which is SAT fever. Now, I have to say from the outset, I am Canadian. We have the SAT there, I guess. I guess people must take it for... They have to take it if they're applying to U.S.
Right.
schools.
But you don't have to take it for
No. If you're stuff. Just if you're going to a Canadian school, you don't have
in.
To take it. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
You just get in.
Yep.
You do have to apply.
Yeah.
Did you get into every school you applied to?
Uh-huh.
How many schools did you apply to?
Three.
Oh my
God. You apply for three, right? You always.
Yeah. You have to pay for more if you apply for more than more than three. I forget.
I was always going to the one that was literally 10 minutes away from my house.
Well, it was the same one that I went to, which I was always going to, too, because my dad was the registrar there and it was free. So, duh. But, yeah. So, anyway, I never took the SAT. The only, other than the CTVS test, which is the Canadian test of basic skills that you take in elementary school, the only other test like this I ever took was the GRE. And I don't remember preparing for it at all, which is probably why my math scores were terrible.
Sounds like when you went to get your driver's license recently.
Shut up. I got it.
Yeah.
Did I pass?
Okay. Sorry. Sorry for the aside, everybody. But I just want to say this. So when you come to Hawaii, usually on most states, you can just do a swap, right? You bring in your New York license and you get your California license, that kind of stuff.
Well, in California, you do.
Whatever. But most of the states, you just do a swap. Here, you have to do a written test as well as a swap. And I went in just sight unseen and I got one wrong. One wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara got like six wrong.
It's true.
Which in any other state would be a fail, except for Hawaii is extremely generous and gives you 7 wrong out of 30 in order to pass.
The person
which
ahead
is ridiculous.
The person ahead of me did not even kind of pass her eye test, and the tester gave her 6.
Frankly, I don't think you should be on the road if you got 6.
Shut up.
That's a lot. I mean,
hey.
What are you getting wrong? Like, what's the stop sign for? I don't know. It's a suggestion. It tells you there's a McDonald's drive-thru.
Some of those questions are phrased in a very misleading way, just like the SAT, if I may get us back on track. Sarah, what was your SAT experience?
Well, I was one of those gifted and talented nerdlingers that was in a like statewide program that took them in like 7th and 8th grade.
Wow.
So just how gifted and talented we were. The scores didn't count. Then you had the PSATs, and then depending on how much you donned those up, maybe you would be sent to a prep program. By the time my brother got to it, keeping in mind I graduated from high school in 90.
Right.
Dave in 97. First of all, they changed the scoring.
Dave, your brother, you should specify. Yes, not this sorry. Dave.
Dave, my brother.
Although,
Dave,
if you want, you want your mind blown, I was also in a gifted program.
So was
me.
I.
Me.
You can barely speak
you
or read.
Mostly have to do with creating spells.
That is the most generous, jerky thing anybody's ever said to me. Thank you.
Thanks.
Dave was in.
Where those came from?
He was in a GIF did program. He made GIFs. Anyway, Sarah, continue.
You mean GIF did program?
Maybe.
Go. Bye, Dave. So I guess I took it. I don't remember when I took the scores that wound up being my final scores, but once I got a 600 on math, I was like, I'm never doing better than that on math.
Yeah.
So then I quit. My scores were not great.
Yeah.
But they were better than the Walsh's.
Oh, good to know. I did wonder.
But the other thing
but
is
I wasn't
like,
going to be so
country,
gauche as to ask. Continue.
A lot of the country doesn't, like the South, I think the ACT
right.
is a thing. And like Chicago, that was more of a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I feel like they've fallen out of such favor in terms of being like a real gauge of your academic fitness that a lot of the hysteria was like, it was like that.
Yeah.
I would have related to it at the time, but now I don't think it's nearly as big of a factor.
Well, and I think I think I've read that it's changed a lot too. Like there's an essay component now maybe. And like the total perfect score that you can get is like way more or something. I don't know. Who cares? I don't know.
There's another whole section. And the other thing, like I worked for Kaplan as a test writer briefly. It was for like state aptitude testing for eighth graders. So kind of different.
Yeah.
But they're very concerned to like try to bleed any element of class out of which is why you get these reading comprehension questions about blue whales because they're completely like culturally neutral.
Yeah.
Like everyone is equally ignorant of the whale's lifestyle and like folkloric dance. You can do it. You have to be very careful. Like, oh, we actually used that kind of Native American before. So
interesting.
I think we're much more aware of the test's flaws.
Yeah. Well, if you took this test in around the time as the same time as the Walsh's or later, please tell us in the comments because I'm very interested to see how people's real experience of this was because I had no context for it other than what I've seen on other TV shows pretty much. So let's get to it. We start out with some A plus B roll of a guy in a suit for no reason outside school and a guy with like the giantest word. It looks like he's sitting with a printer on his lap as he's typing on this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like Duplo blocks, but even bigger than that.
Is it one of like those ones that actually had like an old, like giant suitcase handle on it?
Well, you don't see that, but it looks like that kind.
Yeah. Saw that one in the pilot though.
That's true. We did.
Yeah.
You can see them in the visual aids. Go to previously.tv. It's very important that you do. There's some excellent gifing in this episode, especially if I do say so myself.
I think next season, the guy, Gordon from Halt and Catch Fire, is going to create that.
Yeah. Anyway, so then we get to it. It's SAT fever time. Steve, of course, is taking some kind of expensive prep course that he's very excited about and is trying to get Brandon on board with. Brandon is very middle-classly insisting that there's no way to prepare for the SAT and it's supposed to test you on stuff you already know, blah, blah, blah. But it turns out some people are already hysterical about it and we hear it in clip two.
You know, I've wondered who's been masticating all the pencils around here.
Masticating? Why did you use that word?
Because every time I turn around to grab a new pencil, it's like, ugh, teeth marks.
Yeah, but you could have said chewed. I mean, masticating is the kind of word they use on those SATs, the kind of word that you learn in one of those expensive SAT prep courses.
Like Alfred B. Cook?
I knew you were taking one of those prep courses. Let me just tell you something, Brandon, okay? That puts you at an unfair advantage over those people who cannot afford those expensive courses.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold your fire, Andrea. First of all, I'm not taking one of those courses. Steve isn't. Second of all, I don't think they work. The SATs are designed to test you on stuff you already know. You can't cram for them.
And then again, maybe you can. Maybe, just maybe, there is some kind of system. Brandon, I am so bad at standardized testing. I mean, the colleges, they look at them as if they're gospel. I don't know what to do.
Andrea,
I mean, it's
Andrea,
really...
Andrea, get a grip. I was talking about a test you can retake twice if you want to. A test that's...
going to determine whether I go to Princeton or Pacoima.
Have you been talking to Steve?
Ran into him at my locker.
So apparently those are the only two colleges Steve knows because we already heard him use those examples.
So is Steve
Brandon.
Sort of like the drug dealer in this like extended metaphor, and like instead of, you know, whatever, marijuana or coke, he's giving people.
You think he's a hustler for Alfred B. Cook?
He's the guy at the bar who's ordering himself delicious whatevers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He's just,
Andrea lost it. Damn.
Well, I also doubt
that. Did she ever have it?
Seriously. I don't believe that this is a character who would have problems taking standardized tests. A. No. Or B, if you're a high school newspaper editor, you should know the word masticate. That's not a tough one, I feel. But Andrea's already lost it, as Dave noted. So later she tries to essentially mooch education from Steve, as we hear in clip three.
Steve.
What, Andrea?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I need it bad.
I didn't mean to claw you. It's just that I'm in a desperate situation.
What's the matter?
Well, the SATs, they're on Saturday.
Yeah, so what?
So I was wondering if I could,
What?
Could I come over to your house tonight and study with you after class?
Are you asking me for a date?
No, what I'm asking you for is the Alfred B. Cook advantage. You know, notes, drills, practice tests, secret documents, whatever you have.
Know where I live?
No, can you put down your address and your phone number? Say, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock's fine.
You know, we have a reputation to uphold. Did you know that West Beverly and Beverly Hills High have some of the highest SAT averages in California?
How illuminating.
Don't forget, take good notes.
Oh my God, chill out, Mom.
She explodes.
By the way, Gabrielle Carteris is a total hero for putting up with any of this in the subplot, because not only is she acting like she is on all of the meth, but she's styled like it's a silent movie and you can't tell from her screeching and grabbing at people that she's freaking out. It looks like she combed her hair with a trapper keeper, and it's all in the visual aids, and also Steve just looking at her like,
yeah,
please.
I think this might be the first scene that the two of them even have had together, like, this entire season so far, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, maybe.
So they make this arrangement to meet up and study, and he tells her the secret of taking multiple choice tests. Like, she's never heard it before. Like, it's basic multiple choice strategy. Like, there's one you can throw out, there's one that's probably the opposite of what they're looking for, then you get down to two answers. Like, fucking duh, how do you not know this? But anyway, after they go through everything he's learned from Alfred B. Cook, they have a moment in clip number four.
I hope I can do it. Oh,
no, you can do it. You're smart already. In fact, that's your problem.
Why?
Because you outsmart yourself.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I wish I wasn't so smart.
You know what? You're pretty cute without your glasses on.
God.
Are we all paying attention to the off-brand jump?
Yeah, I'd also like to note, since we've paused, that this scene begins with Steve standing against his bedroom wall, on which is a giant, like, acrylic blow-up of a $1,000 bill. Got it.
Is that in the visual aids? Because if not, I'm going to add it right now.
Oh, it's in there.
Oh, thank God.
Get vertical. Get vertical. Get vertical. Go do it now.
Is that supposed to be some kind of compliment?
No. This is...
He gets up and kisses her, as you can hear.
Ugh.
I gotta go.
Now?
Yeah, it's getting late.
It is?
Look, I'm sure that you helped my score 200-300 points.
Anytime.
Did I forget anything? I guess I'm off.
Bye.
Exactly.
That was Steve somersaulting onto his bed. Okay, I am not a crackpot. I actually think they kind of have okay chemistry in this scene, Sarah.
Okay. Being added to the visual aids immediately after we record this is my notes, in which I have written... Andreev, why didn't that happen? IANAC.
Yes! thank you. Because they,
so I guess we're both crackpots. I always liked their friendistry.
Yeah,
I thought it was good.
They also, their other big scene that I'm sure everybody remembers is they were the people that were together to exchange an egg at the convenience store with this clerk that has no fucking idea what they're talking about. So yeah, I agree. I like them together. However, they agree that they, when it comes to SAT day, they come running at each other in the hallway because they're both late somehow. And Andrea is in what appears to be a jumpsuit. It can't possibly be, but it's a matching like blouse and slacks that's, again, as usual, completely age inappropriate for her.
Well, but she also has like a, she matched her belt and boots, which Tim Gunn wouldn't approve, but the boots are okay. And then she has a side pony that, I don't know. I noted this in the visual aids for her. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of 80s, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. So they're in the hall agreeing that they would be a terrible couple. And then the proctor of the test comes out and tells them to come in and calls them lovebirds or something. And then Kelly and Brandon have to have a moment where they're like, lovebirds, but nothing ever comes of this, of course. Yeah. As we all know, moving on to the A story, which I like to call Brenda's boob. So,
and she doesn't mean Dylan.
Nope. Brenda, Kelly, and Donna are also studying for the SATs at Kelly's house. Kelly is barely paying attention, which is kind of awesome. She's flipping through a magazine and lands on a page about breast self-exams. Brenda reveals that her aunt, Sheila, died of breast cancer at age 35. So then, because they're all bored, because it's SAT prep, they decide to all do their own breast self-exam, and everything is fine until it isn't. And Brenda thinks she feels something, but she doesn't say anything.
Except she makes silent movie faces for like a week.
Boy, does she ever.
This episode really was like 31 minutes long.
It's crazy how much filler there is in it. So then she goes home and doesn't say anything all night until everyone's going to bed. And then she brings Cindy into her room and basically recaps her storyline to that point in clip 5.
So we were all at Kelly's studying for the SATs. And she was reading this magazine and it had this thing in it about, oh, you know, where you check your breast for lumps.
Mm-hmm.
So we all decided to do it. I don't know why. I guess we were just bored.
Honey, that's not something you have to worry about as a teenager.
Well, the article said that even young girls should get into the habit. Hmm. So I did the test and I thought that I felt something.
Where?
Here.
Forehead, you idiot.
Cindy feels.
I'm sure it's nothing.
I'm sure it's nothing, too.
Do you feel it?
I feel something. Does it hurt?
No. I mean, I didn't really feel it until I realized it was there, until we did this. Don't tell Dad.
Why?
I don't know, I'm just embarrassed.
Honey, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Tomorrow morning, we'll go see a doctor and we'll have this thing checked out. I'm sure it's nothing.
Is that what Aunt Sheila thought? When she found a lump on her breast, did she think that it was nothing, too?
Honey, it's not the same thing. When you're older, it's different.
I know, it just freaked me out.
Oh, sure did. But it'll be fine, you'll see. There's a good explanation for this, and tomorrow morning we'll get it. You get a good night's sleep.
I will. Night, Mom.
Night, honey.
Okay, here's the reason this clip is so long.
Jesus Christ.
Wait. Chill out, music supervisor.
I gotta say, this is going to take a little manual thing, but let's just see if I can find it. Okay. I think that's also that right there. This. That's when Zorro comes into the scene. Brenn, hello, señoritas.
Oh, my God.
I've come to save you from breast cancer.
Yeah. So Cindy is trying to keep a brave face, but she's seriously freaking out, and so are the shoulder pads in her pajamas, which makes
sense.
Yes. It was the 90s. So the next day, it's obviously she tells Jim, and when Brenda comes down, she gets upset about everything. And clip number 6.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Brenda.
You told him, didn't you?
Brenda, it's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Dad, I know that. I just didn't want you getting upset over nothing.
I'm not upset.
Well, why not?
Jesus, Brenda.
Because it could be a million things.
Like what?
I don't know. Maybe it's... Well, it's an ingrown hair.
An ingrown hair? On my left breast? I sincerely hope not. You know, Mom, this is why I didn't want you to tell him. This is the kind of explanation Brandon would come up with.
What is?
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Hijink music. Really... unfortunate music choices all over this episode. So Cindy finally tracks down a gynecologist, and she's a woman, and Brenda is psyched. There's also, she comes to school to get Brenda for this appointment, and Brenda and Kelly are sitting in science class, first of all, for like 25 minutes before we finally get to the point of why we're even watching them. Like, there's so
learning
much
the bones of the ear
of the ear. Not even like relevant to this episode in the way that class stuff always is on high school shows. Like, there's so much filler in this episode. It's actually kind of shocking. But yeah, Cindy shows up to get Brenda for this doctor's appointment, and she's so weirdly dressed up. She's like Marge going to church or something. It's very strange. And you can see her weird outfit in the visual aids with a caption, which I won't ruin by Sarah, but which made me LOL this morning.
It's not exactly this, but let's just say it was a Chico's kind of day inside the medical center.
Cindy? Cindy's even got an updo. Like, she's really going all out for this appointment. Whatever. So Brenda meets her cute doctor, Dr. Donner, and they go through this whole thing. And then basically what happens is Brenda has her breast exam in real time, and you watch it in real time. It is so boring. You can't even imagine how boring it is. We also find out that Cindy is 42, so chew on that one for a while, if you can. Cindy has no chill about any of this. She's way too pushy and trying to interfere between Brenda and her doctor until finally Dr. Donner kicks her out. And finally, they decide they're going to do a needle biopsy, and that's what we hear in clip number 7.
So what does that tell you?
What it tells me is that what you have in your breast is solid. It's not a cyst. And in order to know more, we're going to have to conduct a biopsy.
Oh, my God.
Why, what does that mean? What's wrong?
Probably nothing. I don't understand. I mean, Brenda's only 16 years old. I mean, what are the chances that this could be cancerous?
Very slim.
Brenda, would you excuse us for a minute? I want to talk to Dr. Donner alone in the hallway for a moment.
Mom!
Honey, I'm sorry, Mrs. Walsh, but I can't discuss Brenda's case with you without Brenda being present. But I always like to be up front with my patients and give the worst case scenario.
Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Now, on the upside, 81% of these cases are usually fibroadenomas or benign tumors.
And the other 19%?
Non-cancerous lesions and sometimes cancer. Given Brenda's young age, I rate that highly unlikely. But given your maternal family history of cancer, nothing can be ruled out until we conduct a biopsy.
Okay, someone tell the music supervisor because he's freaking out.
The soonest I can schedule something would be Saturday.
That's my SATs.
Oh, can't you make them up?
I guess so. Mom, don't worry. I'm gonna be fine.
I know you will, honey. I know you can be just fine.
Again, the pushy music cannot calm down.
Why don't they just do the needle? But I mean, whatever. It's the filler sewed. But... Mm-hmm. Why don't you just do it then?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never been in that situation, at least with the million molectomies I've had, where they wouldn't just be like, well, let's scrape it off now and see what's what. Because, whatever.
Yeah, I don't
know. Shut up, medicine.
Seriously. So Cindy is all in a state because she thinks that Brenda is Sheila all over again. And then Brandon walks in, and then they finally decide, okay, now we guess we have to stop keeping the secret from him, and they recap the previous 22 episodes, minutes of the episode. Brandon makes a silent movie face of concern about Brenda's boob. And then we get a scene where they go up to their room and they're looking at this old photo album with pictures of Sheila, and it descends into a completely inappropriate acting choice from both of the actors in clip number 8.
I used to wish that Sheila was my mom and mom was my aunt. She was so much fun. Did you ever wish that?
Not after she got sick.
Yeah, it was awful. With her losing her breasts and then all her hair. I couldn't imagine that ever happening to me.
It won't. I'll protect you.
You can't. That's the thing. Nobody can protect you. You want to know the thing I remember most about Sheila after she got sick?
What?
How lonely she was. And no matter how much love we gave her, she just kept on getting lonelier and lonelier.
After she died, it was Mom who got lonely.
I know. It must have been such a relief for her to move out here. Kind of like running away from bad memories. She didn't get very far.
Hey, you're gonna be just fine.
How do you know that, Brandon?
Because I'm older.
Everything.
And wiser.
And just how much wisdom did you accumulate in those momentous 4 minutes?
A small lifetime.
Very small.
Pillow fight!
My eye!
Yeah. Flirty horseplay, kind of a weird choice for this scene to end on, I feel.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Brandon blabs Brenda's secret to Andrea, which I'm sure Brenda would not be okay with. Brandon just needs to tell somebody because he can't flip out in front of Brenda, and he and his crest of hair are very upset. This ends up being the reason that Andrea doesn't confess to him about her kiss with Steve, because it's one of those TV things where it's like, what were you going to tell me? Oh, nothing. Like, whatever.
And then the other person's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So much as, I mean, at least it's believable in this case, because who is more self-involved than Brandon? No one.
Exactly.
Across the lawn, Donna and Kelly deliver a masterclass in what not to say to somebody having a health crisis in clip number 9.
I really hate hospitals.
Oh, so do I.
So do I. I sort of feel like this is all my fault. I mean, I started this whole thing. No, I'm glad that I found it.
You are?
Wow. I really hope nothing ever happens to my breasts.
Mine neither.
I know.
I don't know how you can deal with this. I mean, all the waiting and not knowing. I guess I don't have any choice.
Rising Strings of Brenda is so brave.
She is really brave, you guys.
Oh my God. I hope nothing happens to my breasts. Like, I get so many implants that I get a scar in the between them that looks like a keyhole. Donna does not add.
Oh God.
Anyway. Well, Go ahead.
I mean, they're being more supportive than Dylan is being, since Dylan A should have found this lump in the first place doing his job as a boyfriend. And second of all. Anyway, I believe we're about to get to the grand entrance of Mr. 18-inch waist himself. But
yeah, he comes up behind Brenda at her locker. He doesn't know any of this. Obviously, she hasn't told him. And he gets all handsy and she freaks out and gets all upset. He doesn't know why. He thinks it's SAT prep madness and she has to tell him the truth. So he tries to actually be supportive, but she's a bitch because she's Brenda in clip number 10.
I'm gonna be there.
Dylan, I don't want you there.
I'm gonna be there.
It's changed things, hasn't it?
No, it hasn't.
It's been
You didn't even want to touch me after I told you.
I was surprised. I was scared.
Of so you.
Brenda, I love you.
What?
You're only saying that.
I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, he loves her now? What order was this shot in?
Yeah, no idea.
It's okay, well, he is just saying that, but
also, I feel like it would be okay for him to say, when she says, you didn't even want to touch me afterwards, like, we were in the hallway at school. Like, what did you want me to do? Feel you up? I also didn't know if you were in pain, so back
also,
off.
Also, I tried feeling you up in the hallway and got, yeah, like, self-defense coursed in the chest.
Bit
so
my
I'm
tiny
not
head
try
off.
Trying to touch you again.
I know. So then we hear about Brenda's private concerns in clip number 11.
You know what I'm scared about more than anything?
What?
The thought of losing a breast. How can I ever go on a date if that ever happened?
Believe me, Brenda, that is not going to happen.
Is that what you told Sheila?
Honey, if Sheila had started checking herself at your age, everything probably would have been fine.
Why is this happening to me? Mom, I'm so scared. And people keep on telling me that everything's going to be okay, but what if it's not? What if I go in to have a biopsy tomorrow and they discover that things aren't okay?
I mean, like, the likelihood that it's anything is so small. She is 16. Like, it's really very remote, and she's being ridiculous. And so is Cindy. That's more of the problem, I think, that Cindy is so upset about Sheila because she only died 2 years ago that she can't be like, calm down. It's almost certainly fine.
Yeah. Or like, well, fine. Let's just cut them both off now, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Seriously. Like, I mean, your blouses would fit a lot better. Let's be honest. They really add nothing in some ways. But anyway. So then Brenda calls Dylan, and it's the 90s-est thing in the episode somehow in clip 12.
Wait, is this a 90s thing? Did he dial down the middle? Is that why?
No.
Hi, it's Dylan. You almost got me, but leave a message and I'll get back to you soon.
I love you too.
Oh, the whimsical outgoing answering machine message.
Yeah, and it's not the same as his famous, like, here comes the beep, you know what to do, or whatever the...
Oh, yeah.
The ones I got used to. That's why I asked for the clip.
You're right.
Because it was, like, actually not quite as Dylan-y and jerky as the later one.
Yeah, I also guess this is the first time either of them said I love you to the other, but they didn't really make a big deal about how it was the first time because Brenda is so overreacting about her probably pea-sized armpit lump. Anyway.
Well, and according to our fine listeners and commenters on the, again, with this forum boards, they Dylan was like not really supposed to be an ongoing thing.
Right.
And someone had to like basically pay for him out of pocket because they didn't have the budget for him, which in a later set in our next in our next episode is very evident. Poor Fred Siegel probably sued them for defamation.
Yeah.
But yeah, like sometimes you really can't tell where they're supposed to be in their relationship, which on one hand is like, well, they just, you know, don't explain everything for us and that's refreshing. But on the other hand is like, I feel like he was just like reverse poochied into some of these episodes sometimes.
Yeah, well, we're only 3 episodes away from them locking in on that one, if you know what I mean. And you do, if you were alive at the time, so.
I sure do.
We will get to it. But in the meantime, Brenda has a fantasy slash dream about her funeral taking place at the same time as the SAT, which I'm sorry, but it's kind of funny. And that's clip 14. 13.
When I told Brenda I loved her, I said it out of A, pity, B, lust, C, deceit, or D, heartfelt emotion. I can't believe you have to think about this. If Brenda's
entire life can be expressed as a 24-hour day. What time will she be forgotten?
This is with Brandon now.
A, 1 a.m. B, 12 noon. C, 4 p.m. Or D, Brenda will never be forgotten. You're going to forget me by lunchtime?
She smacks him in the back of the head. He reacts like a ghost in him.
The thing I most want Brenda to leave me in her will is A,
Kelly,
her red pumps. B, a porcelain doll collection. C, her turquoise earrings. Or D, her boyfriend. Kelly.
Foreshadowing. Also,
seriously, take the earrings. They're bigger.
Yeah, the porcelain doll collection is the option you can throw out because no one wants that.
Oh, yeah. Or has that, who's 16. Come on.
Yeah. But I have to give credit to Jason Priestley because his take when she hits him in the back of the head and he has to look around because he doesn't see her there is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
She's
anyway. Dressed like a Manson Woodstock.
She totally is.
Very weird.
So Cindy wakes her up. She obviously it was a dream, duh. And they go to the hospital. Brandon can't concentrate at the SAT, so he leaves and goes to the hospital to be with them. And we hear who else shows up in clip 14.
How you doing?
Hey, baby, how did it go?
How do you feel? Fine, except for a little dizzy because I was lying down for so long. Dr. Donner says that we can leave. She'll call us when we're at home. Oh, my God.
What is it?
My hair's a mess.
Oh, I don't know. I think you look terrific.
Dylan!
I went to 5 hospitals. You never told me where you were going.
Home. Come on, baby. Thanks.
Okay. I don't know if you could hear it because they didn't really highlight it, but that was 2 babies in 1 clip from Mr. James Eckhouse. And that is...
Yeah, nope.
And it's not the only baby in the episode. If we could backtrack just a second to clip 15. This is from earlier.
I just can't conceive of anything happening to Brenda.
Baby, it's going to be all right.
Okay. I feel like someone sat him down after this and was like, no more ad-libs, baby.
Also, if they're in the 90210 area code, there are not 5 hospitals that he's going to have to check.
Before. No, there's one. Yeah. It's the same one they always go to on this show. It's Cedars.
Well, and also call Brandon and ask him. He'll just tell you. And also, don't show up wearing a lady's... fucking au coton blouse and a pair of fireplace bellows as pants.
But do bring flowers. That's a nice touch.
Yes.
You can hear them very loudly crinkling as he handed them over. So
I thought that was his
hair?
Hairdo.
Or his forehead. So later, they also obviously everyone goes to Castle Walsh to nervously wait for the call. Kelly and Donna show up with like ridiculously way too big gifts because they feel like shitty because they reacted so badly, which is nice. They did react badly. And then finally we get the call where we find out Brenda is gonna die. Just kidding. It's clip 16.
Hello? Yes, this is Brenda. Hi, Dr. Donna. It is?
Out, Doc.
Oh, thank God. It's fibroadenoma, just like she thought. Fairly common in teenage girls due to an abnormally high level of estrogen. I guess my hormones are raging.
Tell me about it.
No. Who was in the room when he said that?
Everyone.
All of them. No. Everyone except Steve and David and Andrea, who's in the opening credits cast, literally was there. So, yeah. He says it quietly and just to Brandon, but still, that's her brother, so don't.
Yeah, gross. God.
Speaking of gross.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's still not as gross as the twincestual healing we're about to receive.
So let's wrap it up. Brenda is sleeping, not really, when Brandon comes into her room at night, does not turn on the light, sits on her bed, and they have this exchange in our final clip.
You know, you gave us all a pretty good scare.
I know. And imagine how I felt.
I did. Must have been pretty awful. But it was pretty terrible for me, too.
Why?
Serious Seriously.
Thinking about losing you. I don't think you know how much I'd miss you.
No. I think I have a pretty good idea.
Sticking into my leg.
Nope.
Well, the clip's not over.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that was it? Oh, okay. Then he kisses her on the hand, which we gift because it's so gross. Like, they're both so, I mean, I do think that they finally locked into, like, how their characters should interact as siblings. But at this early stage, it's so icky.
And Brandon's baby voice is always terrible. Ugh. That's never worse than when he's, like, condescending / trying to get on his sister. Yeah.
So true. So that's the episode. Everyone's SATs are fine. Brenda's boobs are fine. Everything's fine. This was a waste of time. It's really, other than Brenda and Dylan saying I love you to each other, really nothing happens to advance the plot particularly.
True.
So let's do the MVP and MVP. Most valuable player, Sarah, who is your choice?
David Byrne.
There were a lot of
many, many jackets to Cindy during this episode. I'm just kidding. I'm going to say, like, she reacted poorly, but I didn't think it was so bad, actually, as she thought it was. And she did prompt the breast exam to start with. So I will say Kelly.
Oh, very nice. I will say Dylan, because he knew not to listen to Brenda when she actually really did want him at the hospital. And despite his weird rugby pants and the rest of his outfit and his hair and his forehead, he did show up for her. And that was sweet. He was a good boyfriend most of the time. So I'll give it to Dylan. Least valuable. Least valuable player, Brandon, really did nothing to help anyone in any way in this episode.
Yeah, can't disagree. But I will note that two players not eligible for this who were not blissfully not in the episode at all, David Silver and Ted Scott. So
that's true.
If you really hate them and any episode without them is good to you, then mm-hmm. Enjoy.
All right, let's do the Kim Challenge.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five reasons that in this episode, Dylan shows he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
I got one.
Oh, please.
If you're sick and you need to get to the hospital, God knows where he's going to take you before he gets to the right place.
He's also not going to be able to find any possibly malignant lumps or cysts or anything like that, because apparently he's not touching your breasts.
That's true. He's being very weirdly polite for a 16-year-old girl that we're supposed to think got a girl pregnant in Paris. Yeah. I did call him a girl. 16-year-old yep. guy. That's what I meant.
I was confused. Is a girl, apparently, and nobody knows.
Yeah, he's not very resourceful. You're right. I can't really top that. He might get you in trouble at school for being all over you at your locker when you're just trying to switch your books between class.
And because his pants are a pair of fireplace bellows, if he walks past a fireplace, he could cause an entire room to become consumed in flames.
Also, he doesn't seem to be really concerned about the SATs.
Yeah, he doesn't take them.
So if you are connected to him, especially if you see a future with him, perhaps his upward mobility is being limited by his refusal to really buckle down and get a higher education.
Well, as people who have watched the show will know, Dylan's laissez-faire attitude with regard to the SATs both in this season and next season is actually a major story point. Mm, so,
there we go.
Yeah, for you're sure. not wrong.
Was that five? I think that was five.
Yep, that was. I think that was six.
That's another episode of Again With This. Next time, Matthew Perry Menendez and his ex-teeth do all of the acting and then some. Visual aids from this episode and other fashions from the present day on TV, visit us at previously.tv or follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. You can find our producer/pronouncer, David T. Cole, on Twitter at Clark. You can find my wife, Tara, at Tara Ariano, and I'm at Tomato Nation. See you next time.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!